all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Erica Conway. Erica is referred to as a hub, connector, joiner, and matchmaker. Those are all words that really describe Erica's role at C2. It's a company that she co-owns with her brother, as well as the roles that she tries to play in the Milwaukee creative community. She even has a few weddings under her belt. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about that today. Day to day, you can find her juggling placement of creative talent, marketing duties, making management decisions, event planning, and jello shot concocting. All right, Erica, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Lori.
Jello shot concocting. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about that? I did see one of your titles somewhere said jello shot chef.
So when I started with Mac Pros, which is the business we bought, AdWorkers has just relaunched their golf outing, and the Business Marketing Association had a golf outing, and AIGA, American Institute of Graphic Arts, had a golf outing. And they all kind of happened very, like, close together. And I wanted to be a part of them as a sponsor, but I was a solo salesperson. And I just wanted a kind of cheap and easy way to get out to these golf outings. And that's when jello shots were just coming on the scene, like 2001, 2002. And so I made my first batch of jello shots, and it has been an odyssey ever since. So they became like, I was the only person there with jello shots. They became a hit. I make a pretty mean jello shot. And over the years, we've concocted many thematic jello shots. We even did a calendar for the holidays once, of a jello shot of the month calendar with, you know, glossy photos and the whole nine yards. So I make a mean jello shot.
Well, I'm kind of sad you didn't bring any in today.
I really should have. I actually made some for the Super Bowl party.
Well, of course.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was, what was the theme you had there then?
Well, so I attempted to make shot glasses out of jello.
Oh.
And the recipe was a little too light on the gelatin. So I've got it now.
Okay.
So watch out for, you know, jello shot glass near you. I got it. I've got the recipe. I'm going to make it happen.
All right. Maybe we can include that in the show notes later on. So I know in C2 is a company that helps creative professionals find their position, but also agencies find that talent, or regular companies or institutions. So I know along with that is the resume. It's the most important component of that first impression. And what I know about you is that you have a lot of passion about resumes. What should my audience know about writing a great resume?
Well, I have a super strong conviction, but one might even call it an obsession, about the functional resume versus the chronological. I think especially in the creative industry, a functional resume is a far better vehicle for telling your story. And most creatives are inherent storytellers. That is our the craft of any good creative, whether they're a web designer or a copywriter, creative director, art director, whatever the case. So my conviction is your accomplishments and your character are what's going to get you a gig. And it's easier to tell that story on a functional resume where you're focused on accomplishments and able to tell the story of your character and how that impacts how you do your day-to-day rather than chronological. Some of your impact may have happened earlier in your career, and if somebody has to wait till page two, you may not get the chance to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a great story to tell and you're a great storyteller, that's a demonstrable skill, And it's what's going to make the difference between you and your competitor, you know, who you're competing for a job.
Yeah.
So I'm pushing for people in the creative industry to embrace the functional resume over the chronological.
I would be an advocate for that. I mean, really putting myself, my own experiences out there when I am looking for that new talent, I'm looking, do they have these specific skill sets? Not, you know, what was the most recent job that they had, or I'm more interested, can they get the job done, right?
Right.
But also, yeah, like you said, the behavior around that too.
Right. So like what I say to people is fit is about three things. So it's about being fearless, like fearlessly yourself. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to present yourself as all things to all people, you have to be fearlessly ambitious about what you want in order to best serve whoever hires you. And then you have to do it with integrity, so you have to be honest about your accomplishments, but you also have to do it tangibly, because what you're trying to say to somebody is, in exchange for this salary, whatever that might be, I'm going to return that by helping you either grow your top line sales, because I'm a great graphic designer or account rep or whatever the case may be, or I'm going to help you strengthen your bottom line. And that means I'm going to help you with efficiencies and workflow and other pieces like that. So if you can't prove your value in a resume, that's part of your fit. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going for an account exec job, that's all about sales and it's about strengthening relationships. I think those are a story you can tell pretty convincingly.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also tangible. Like, how much money did you make your last client? How much, yep. you know? So I do think there's a lot of opportunity in resumes that people are really afraid. They want to conform mm-hmm. to what they think HR people want. And I think HR people also want the most efficient way to know that you can do the job. Because your day-to-day skills, mm-hmm. like that's the cake, right?
Yep.
Like, of course, if you're an account services person or you're a graphic designer, and I see that you've done three jobs as a graphic designer, I understand that you can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So you've established that, right? Okay, the last three jobs, you're a graphic designer. Tell me how you're special.
Yep.
Tell me how you kick ass being a graphic designer. That's what's going to get you hired.
Yep.
Like, that's the cake, is that you can do the job. The frosting is, like, how can you make me money? Are you also good with clients? Are you also, can you do web and print?
Yep.
Which is now more of an expectation, but it used to be some pretty good frosting if you're a print designer with web skills.
Yep, yep.
So I think getting people comfortable, and especially in the Midwest, getting people comfortable telling the best part of their story.
Mm-hmm.
I also advocate for people, like, you know what, if you don't want to say it, get a testimonial. Why don't
yep.
you lead with a testimonial
yep.
then? If you have somebody who loved working with you, have them talk about your strengths. Why does
yeah.
it have to be you saying, like, I'm a team leader and da-da-da? Well, of course, everybody says that.
Sure.
But if someone else says it, it's more credible.
Yep.
And it's probably better heard from somebody who has some credibility to talk about who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and that totally ties into networking, obviously. So this is going to be really good. In Milwaukee, you're obviously filling a lot of creative jobs, and I know it's a very competitive market right now, extremely competitive, and even it probably spans nationwide. I'm hearing this across agencies, more so with that millennial mindset that, you know, it's I'm going to stick around for a year or two and move on to the next big thing. What are some of the hardest creative jobs to fill in Milwaukee, or most competitive, would you say?
I think there's two interesting dynamics that are going on. The first is in the user experience field. So there are not a lot of educational systems pumping out user experience grads. UWM is doing a nice job of having their design students work with their IS students and learn some user experience and build some apps or build some web presences that use the principles of UX, but
mm-hmm.
it's not super formal. But MSOE just launched a UX program
cool.
this last year. So I think that getting entry-level UX people is super competitive right now, and it's going to become more competitive as MSOE grads kind of hit the scene. And then graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many graphic designers in the market. I mean, there are probably 30 educational programs within 60 miles of Milwaukee that are pumping out communications, advertising, graphic design, you know, grads of in that realm. And so every December and every spring, we get an influx of new folks. And then we have all the working professionals in the field. So if you're a graphic designer who wants to get a gig at an agency or in a marketing firm or anywhere in town in-house, you really have to have some serious chops. Your book has to be fabulous. And there's a lot of mediocre graphic designers out there.
Yes.
And I don't know where they work. Yeah. But, you know, it's just super competitive because of the sheer volume of people entering the market.
Yep.
And then you look at what people are offering for pay. I mean, there are people who are offering $15 an hour and they want great graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also people offering, really competitive, great salaries for graphic design. So you have to kind of figure there's both demand and some serious inequity.
Yeah.
And because there's so much competition, great graphic designers are taking jobs for $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, it's not helping the industry, but it's also a good indicator of just how much talent there is in the market.
Yeah.
Because what you want to do is build your book personally. You know, if you're a graphic designer, you want to build your book and you want to make the connections and have really great stuff to show so you can move up.
Yep.
But then you're already behind the eight ball because you've already compromised your value, which is, again, that just goes back to my resume
thing.
Right.
Absolutely. What I see a lot of when I look at student portfolios, it is fairly weak for the most part as far as what they're showcasing. But they do have confidence in what they're showcasing. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the confidence. But I find the individuals that had an internship actually have stronger portfolios than the students that just went to class and graduated.
Right.
So I'm always advocating the internship for sure. Plus, you're building your network.
Right, exactly.
And potentially getting that next opportunity. Wow, lots of good juicy details already. But let's circle back to that topic of networking, which we all love.
Yeah.
My goal is to really remove the fear and the hesitation and the uncertainty that people have with networking. Regardless of age, industry, career, profession, networking is a critical tool in your tool belt. So why don't you share with me your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
I would have to say, so I am not a fan, like most people. Nobody really likes a cold call, right? So I'm okay with the cold call, actually, but I'd rather make a warm call.
Yep.
And so I was told early in my career, I jumped into this career in 2000 when I went to work for Mac Pros. I had been in higher ed before and networking wasn't even on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started with them, I had met with one person who had said, you have to network. So I was like, I don't even know what that is.
Yep.
So I went to the MMAC and they said, we have these networking forum luncheons. I was like, what are those? You go twice a month, same group of people, and it's lead exchange. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that. And I went, and I did it for 3 years. And from those, and I did two different groups. And from those networking forum luncheons, I have relationships now to date that are still strong, referrals, people I get together with who, you know, I am friends with, but it all spawned from those networking forum luncheons. In fact, Lucy Klebar, who was in one of my luncheons, she had owned ProMentor, which was a training company. She ended up coming to work for C2 for several years because of the relationship we built in that networking forum luncheon. And the gal who, Mary Edwards over at Coakley Brothers, is somebody who was in my luncheon, and she has moved our company twice because we have that relationship and trust. And like, I don't know what it costs to move with Coakley Brothers. It doesn't matter. I trust Mary and her crew.
Yep.
And it wasn't even, it's not like we got other quotes. When we were like, oh, we're moving the office, I'm like, yes, call Coakley Brothers right now. And that's what we're going to do. So there are just a number of really fabulous people who I have these long-term, fairly deep relationships with from that experience. And that experience really honed my networking my appreciation for networking. And it really made Milwaukee small.
Yeah.
Because that group of people too, like if I reach out to them now and say, hey, I have a need, there's so many, like Karen Shea Kubiak, I had a friend who needed to move into a new apartment and I sent a note out to the people in the networking forum luncheon saying, hey, I have a friend who's moving. He moved upstairs in her duplex in Tosa
yep.
because she wrote back, oh, my apartment's opening up.
Nice.
Like just these little like, it was just that easy,
uh-huh.
you know, and it was a great, it was an awesome place. And so there are just like, I have so many great stories that came out of that. Just that one, and that was, you know, 15, 20, oh God, 17 years ago.
I was going to ask the question of how long it was and I decided not to because... I know you've been in business for a while, which is great, right? Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you.
On your continued successes. Are you still a part of the group?
I'm not part of the group. So we had hired some salespeople and we had them as part of the group. It's a big commitment. It's about an hour and a half every other week.
Sure.
And that is, for me as a business owner, that was just a little bit much.
Uh-huh.
But my salespeople loved it because they got to build those same relationships. Yep. And the company itself, so C2, had a good relationship and a good reputation.
Sure.
So it was just continuing.
You were building
that.
The brand of C2 while you were
and
doing
and helping
that.
My salespeople like have a built-in network that they already trusted. The people in that group already trusted C2.
Yep.
It was just new people who they were kind of taking under their wing. So I can't say enough about that experience. Like, it's a little pricey. It's a little spendy, but I got out of it. Probably way more than I invested in.
Your return on investment was great.
Huge,
I'm sure of it. I love that you just were like, I don't know what this is, but I guess I'm going to do it. And then you've got relationships that are 15, 17 years old, whatever that may be. That's great.
Yeah,
Thank you for sharing.
It's outstanding.
So you've built your network, and I know that you're heavily involved in a number of organizations, and you support a lot of groups, and you build your business on staying connected with these individuals. So what do you do to best nurture your network?
There are a number of things. So we try to be at as many things that we can. So I've been on the board of every group where my target audience is, ad workers. I haven't been on the board, but we've been sponsors of ad workers. We've been on the board of AIGA, BMA. We've sponsored some AMA events. We've reached out to 414 Digital. I've been on the board when it was MIMA, way back in the day, Milwaukee Interactive Marketing Association.
Yep, I remember that.
And so trying to participate actively, whether that's spending time or spending money supporting those groups, has been our main way that we've tried to stay connected with both clients and with potential talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it has reaped reward, especially in the relationships and trust side, because we've been there consistently year after year. And I think that we will sometimes have clients who will call and say, I've known about you for years, but we've just never had a need. But now that we do, I feel like I know your company because we've seen you at every golf outing for 15 years.
Yep.
Like, we'd like to talk. So that's been really fun. Just staying engaged. And then the MMAC, we've stayed engaged with. And there have been, you know, when other groups come up that are new, I haven't been to that networking at night whatever it is.
Network after work.
Yep. Somebody went last month and said, oh, it's great, you have to go. And it's just not been convenient, but I'm committed. Like 2018, I'm going to get to one.
Yep. And there's so many of them in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And when they're new, I just am like, well, I don't know. I want buzz to hit me so I know that it's going to be worth my time.
Sure, yeah.
Otherwise, I know where my investment is best made,
correct,
which is in these creative organizations.
Yep, absolutely. That definitely makes sense. And obviously the consistency paid off. Like you said, you've been at this event for 15 years. Now I have the need, but I know you.
Right.
And you've proven that you're going to stick around for a while too, obviously.
That's the plan.
All right. So the business professional who's looking to grow their network, what advice would you offer them?
I have a couple pieces of advice. One, I think, is it's not new advice. It's advice everybody gets, is there's a level of authenticity that is crucial. So when I started networking, I was really excited to meet like people who are big in the industry. So like in 2001, I met Grant Johnson and Ann Zizzo were on a panel. And I was like wide-eyed, like, oh my God, it's Ann Zizzo and Grant Johnson. And like, just because they were big names in the industry, they still are.
Yep.
And I went up to Ann Zizzo and I was like, blah, blah. I just puked my sales spiel all over her. Not literal puke, just, I was just like, oh my God, Ann Zizzo, blah, 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 we're C2. I just went, Mac Pros at the time, I just went crazy because I was so excited to have the opportunity to be in front of her.
Yep.
I've never done business with Ann Zizzo. And I'm sure that that is a direct result of her thinking I was a lunatic. So I think I would have been much better served doing what I do now, which is when I go to networking events, I try as much as possible to interview people.
Sure.
And not really talk much about myself.
Yep.
They'll always invite you to say like, well, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
But my goal is to learn as much about other people as possible in a safe and warm way, and then introduce as many people to as many people as possible, help other people connect. One, I believe in business karma.
Yeah.
And two, I just know that people didn't come to hear my spiel. And that if I have the opportunity to share it and it's requested, it's going to have more value because they want to hear it. And that my value is in connecting people. It's a demonstrable value.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can be connecting people in whatever space I'm in,
yep,
that just, again, is a story that I don't have to tell. I'm just doing it.
Yep.
So it all comes back to like, if you have a demonstrable skill, get it out there.
Yep. And people know you for that.
Yeah.
So you're kind of that central hub, as you referred to in your bio, of the connector.
Right.
Which is a good space to be.
Right. It's why the weddings are under my belt.
Then you attract
exactly
people to you instead of having to go out and find that person.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're offering as far as advice goes really is based on someone getting out there and attending events.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend someone who isn't familiar with the networking event scene and how to maybe find the right group to attend? Because as you spoke earlier, what's the best use of my time, right?
Right?
So how do you do that?
There are, the resources now for networking are so robust comparatively mm-hmm. to 2000 when mm-hmm. I started out in sales and account services. We are right now part of like 4 or 5 different networking groups that are driven by meetup.com.
Okay.
And meetup.com just got acquired by WeWork. So it's going to even get more robust.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
A couple weeks ago. It's going to become more robust because they're going to have this engine behind it, which is really about making people connected for commerce.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be wild.
Interesting. Okay.
So meetup.com, I think, is a great way to start getting you. So if you want, you'll always have a goal when you're networking. I'm looking for a job. I'm looking to make sales. There's a group for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And meetup is nice because you can get really granular with how specific a group you want to be in.
Yep.
Or maybe you're trying to skill build, like, I want to go to the Brew City user experience meetup because
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go from being a web designer to a user experience professional, and I want to be exposed to all the professional development they offer and the networking with professionals who are in that role and maybe want to hire me or maybe want to just, clue me into opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've meetup.com. The MMAC still does some outstanding networking events and Fuel, which is their young professionals group. Milwaukee does some outstanding events as well. I just went to the, it was about Coder. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, that was last night, right? Or 2 nights ago.
The one at Santerre? So they did one at the wine group, Bright Cellars. And I can see the logo. It's like brackets.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it was open. It's a coder's meetup of some sort.
Yeah,
it's
about how technical companies are finding their developers is kind of the crux of the thing. But they're going to like Bright Cellars, which is a wine of the month club, if you will.
Yeah.
But they're local and they were part of the accelerator program in Madison. It's just a neat thing to have gone and listened to their development like story, how they grew to where they are now.
Uh-huh.
With very, you know, very little resources. And they're out at Santerre, I think, next week or okay. next month. I'm not sure. So it's, Milwaukee does a ton across the board, and it's not just for young professionals.
Uh-huh.
Although I like to hang with the young professionals because they're my future clients and future talent.
This is true. Very true. Surround yourself with, the people you're trying to attract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really good. I think Meetup is a great source and just asking people, one of my discussion items when I am at an event is what other groups are you involved in?
That's a great interview question. I love that.
Because then, oftentimes you hear the similar ones,
mm-hmm.
But there's always something new. Like, can you send me some info on that? Yeah. That seems interesting. Good discussion right there. So you've talked a lot about the traditional networking, the face-to-face, but you also spoke that digital and today's technology has really changed
mm-hmm.
how you can network. Which one do you find more value in, the digital networking or the traditional networking?
Yes. So I've been on LinkedIn early adoption of LinkedIn. And at first I thought it was spam. Like I got a couple of emails from a couple of people who mm-hmm. I didn't really know inviting me to get on LinkedIn. And now I think I'm at like 7,000 connections, which is ridiculous.
Wow,
right?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. But my article posts get a lot of reach. And I have a lot of people reaching out to me for jobs, both to hire talent and to be talent mm-hmm. via LinkedIn. So I have to say that from a networking tool perspective, you can't go wrong with LinkedIn. You can. Oh, there's 1,000 ways to go wrong.
Oh, yes, there are.
Yeah, there are. But from a return on investment done well, I think LinkedIn has incredible potential. So I love digital and the meetups too, just for like research and background. I mean, I'm probably on LinkedIn an hour a day mm-hmm. cumulatively by how much I pop on it, check people out.
Yep.
And we do, so one of the networking tools I use is this.
Mm-hmm.
So I had originally had, I think Josh contact you about just, or maybe I contacted you about doing coffee
yep.
and bringing your pens back.
Yep.
We stole our pens. and bringing your pens back. And so I try to reach out to clients who I've done business with before and just like, let me bring you a cup of coffee. Give me 15 minutes. I just want to see what you're doing,
uh-huh.
see how you are. So I probably do 3 or 4 of those a week.
Nice.
Just to stay physically connected mm-hmm. and I'd like to see your office and uh-huh. I like to know. But that way, if you have a need, I know where people are going to be sitting. I know yep. where, what the environment is.
Yeah.
And that's been a good investment of my time as well.
Sure.
And I really don't want to sit in my office and pick up the phone. I would love to deliver and be out and
Absolutely.
Seeing people. So I think both have tremendous value.
Yeah.
But I don't walk into a coffee meeting without looking at LinkedIn and being like, hey, I didn't realize you used to work here.
Uh-huh.
Tell me stories.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you, with 7,000 people, you have a nice tool to help identify a common ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you also know this person or you
right.
work here or you attended this school. So
right.
LinkedIn makes it kind of softens up that conversation
mm-hmm.
a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, the Oshkosh Titans and the Maguanago High School. I'm telling you, it's so crazy the ways you can connect with people.
It is. It is really fascinating. And I remember early on in before LinkedIn was a thing or even used a lot in my early account coordinator days, I was taught when you walk into someone's office, look for pictures or trophies or sports things so you can identify something that they're interested in to
mm-hmm.
connect with, but you don't even need that anymore.
No.
There's so much information online.
Mm-hmm.
Almost scary.
Yeah, I really am an open book. Like, please don't abuse that, people. But yeah, I'm such an, there's nothing you can't learn about me between Facebook and LinkedIn.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
If someone, and I've had people say weird things, and I'm like, oh, you did some homework, because that's kind of dumb.
Yeah,
that's
hidden
a little bit.
Yeah, you did a deep dive on my LinkedIn,
Ooh,
didn't you?
Impressive.
Yeah.
okay, so another fun question here then. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, What would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I do love that question. My 20-year-old self, I was an RA in college, a CA, actually. I was at Oshkosh.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to go into higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I would have told myself, I was convinced that that was my career path for life. And it wasn't. And I didn't explore anything outside of higher ed once I learned I could do it as a career.
Okay.
I was really focused on being a professional dorm mom. And I was good. I was 6 years as a professional dorm, like a residence hall leader. And I was really good at it. But when I left higher ed, I didn't know anything about anything. Like, I would have said to my 20-year-old self, like, you should consider things outside of higher ed just to expose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was not one of those people who went to college knowing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had explored quite a bit up till then. But once I latched on, I really put the blinders on and was like, these are my people. This is what I want to do. And 20-year-old self should have said, and I should be talking to, I should still be engaged with things outside of higher ed.
Mm-hmm.
But for anybody who has ever gone into higher ed professionally, there's enough stimulus and content to keep you busy on growing your career. I mean, there's a Chronicle of Higher Education. There's a newspaper just for people working in higher ed. I mean, like, and now there's even more. That was the only resource back then. Now it's just a plethora of stuff. But
yes.
Yeah, I was really, I regret not having more business acumen when I entered the business world.
Okay.
Like, I just didn't know anything about anything.
And I know, just of what I know of you now, that you do diversify your experiences. And I totally advocate that.
Yeah.
Which is, and I think a lot of the millennials are doing that more
Yeah.
You know, they're traveling the world and having more appreciation for experiences over the tangibles. But that's definitely a good insight to step outside of that box and take the blinders off
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Yeah.
I like that. So networking is all about who you know, obviously. And I love this question with regards to the 6 degrees of separation. If you could connect with anybody, who would it be? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
So I have given this a lot of thought. And I would have, about 4 months ago, I would have said Oprah Winfrey. And I do think I could get to her in about 4 degrees.
Okay.
Because my fiance used to work at the Chicago NBC affiliate.
Sure.
And he has people, and I'm pretty sure that I could get there. I may never get access to her, but I'm fairly confident.
You know, the
I could
path to go at least.
Right.
Okay.
So that's, but she was in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And I went to lunch with one of my clients, and I looked across the restaurant and Oprah was having lunch.
No
and I
way.
Went,
that's awesome.
Oh my God, it's Oprah. So like, I don't need to do that now because she walked by to go to the ladies' room and she said, good morning, ladies.
That's
because
so
we were
fun.
Both staring at her. I'm sure it was so awkward. I'm sure she was like, these two women are staring at me. So it was really fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was really fun. So I was like, yeah,
I'm probably just like riding cloud nine for the rest of the day. Like, this mm-hmm. was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it was. And it was really interesting because my client at the table had pulled out her cell phone and took a picture. And immediately one of her handlers who had been sitting in another part of the restaurant came over and was like, no pictures, please. But the damage was done. We had a photo. So, I mean,
proof.
It's incredibly far away and you
mm-hmm.
can really,
sure.
You know, she's a little fuzzy, but you can tell it's Oprah.
Oh,
but,
fun.
Yeah. So that's, it would have been Oprah though, because I think she would be really hard to actually
mm-hmm.
get to. You
yep.
have to have a pretty compelling story, but she is, you know, she has family in Milwaukee.
Yep.
I think there are ways to get to her.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm just really curious, where were you eating?
Oh, Smith at the Iron Horse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She had done an interview for 60 Minutes the night before in the library.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I keep
on
checking.
Neat place.
Yeah. I keep on checking 60 Minutes website to see like when is it? When is it? What was it?
Yeah.
Like, why were you in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
So there's something coming. I haven't seen it yet.
That's very cool.
Yeah. I really do feel like... Like, I have a friend who works for the State Department, mm-hmm. so I feel like I could get to, whether I want to or not, but I could get to the president mm-hmm. if I really needed to in, like, probably
sure.
2 degrees,
wow.
3 degrees max.
Mm-hmm.
And her birthday, Melania Trump's birthday, and my birthday are all within a week of each other.
Oh.
So I proposed to my friend Catherine, who works for the State Department and is a Milwaukeean. I'm like, why don't we all go out for our 50th? Like,
yeah.
She'll still be in the White House. Let's do it. And now you know my age.
All right.
So, you know.
Well, you did that.
I know. That's okay. But I just think it's these weird, like, small
walkie forces. Yeah,
small everywhere.
Yep,
it is
yep.
really. That
it
6
is.
Degrees question is fantastic.
Thank you.
What's your answer to that?
Oh, man. So, I don't really think through that very well. I think it would be great to connect with Gary Vee, and I know I could. He opens it up to do that. And I know that I overthink that. Like, if I'm going to have the opportunity to speak with him, it's got to be amazing, right? And so...
You should have him do the podcast. He's the king of networking.
He is the king of networking. He would dominate the show for sure. It'd be a great conversation. And yeah, I think it would be good to just pick his brain and... but at the same time, he pushes out so much content. It's you already know the message he'd say. It's
right.
just kind of that, you know, being in front of him or having the opportunity to speak with him.
I'm fascinated by he is agency of record for doing some video for one of the Super Bowl ads.
Oh, which one? Do you know?
No, I read it in Ad Age and I didn't lock it in. I was just fascinated by the fact that it was Vaynerchuk Media, who was doing, I was like, I did not know that he was doing essentially what an advertising agency would be responsible for some of these companies.
He's got a huge agency.
Yeah, I followed him back in the early
so
social media days when he was just hawking wine.
Yep.
And so I have not, since he's so saturated, like I have not really followed as much of what he's been doing. So I have, but I haven't realized how much they've done. So I was just like, they're the agency of record.
Oh,
and there's something huge, too. I was like,
Yeah. You should do a little digging on where he's at now because it is, it's definitely every agency owner's dream probably is what he's doing. But he's hustling, which is his word, right? So there's a balance there. You know, I enjoy... life too.
Yeah.
There's a hustle and there's enjoying experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's, I don't know. I'm impressed by him.
He's living his dream.
Which
it's
is great.
Not everybody's dream, but he is, I saw a thing that where they followed him for 24 hours
mm-hmm.
and it was just essentially like him going to the airport, traveling in meetings back to the airport. It was like 24 hours in Gary's life. I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah. No.
Like, love it. But if I was making that kind of coin, it should be me on vacation calling in, giving instructions.
Yep, exactly.
And then being like beach time people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's good. Thanks for throwing that one back at me.
You're welcome.
So I love to read books. I read a mix of fiction and nonfiction, but I'm always curious, what are the books that my guests are reading?
I am ashamed. I can't tell you.
Oh, my
I cannot
gosh,
tell you.
Gosh, no.
So I... love audiobooks, but I recently decided to like just look what I had in my you know digital books.
Sure.
And somehow, because I read Twilight and I did it digitally, whatever the Apple books.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but whatever that is suggested these teen. Like, it's like Mean Girls, but it's not these teen books. And I was like, well, they gave you, like, 80 pages free, right? So I started, and I ended up buying this stupid book about teenagers. And, oh, my God, it's
I enjoy reading those things. Like I love the Harry Potter books.
Oh, I love the Harry Potter books. Yeah.
And you can just kill that in a weekend. I love those books.
Yeah. So I got sucked in and like stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning reading Teen Lit, Mean Girls Lit, essentially. I was like, okay. And I didn't even see the movie Mean Girls. So I was so embarrassed. I was like, I'm not telling anybody except your audience. Yes, so you're welcome. Yes. You've really pulled
up. We'll tag that on Twitter so everyone sees that.
Exactly. So. And then Dan Harris has an audiobook, 10% Happier.
Okay.
And it's really about his journey into meditation, but it started as his journey to calm the voices in his head, like the ones that were self-critical and pushing him to be really competitive in his industry. And he's a pro newscaster, so it is a really competitive industry, sure. But he was making himself crazy and hurting his, you know, his quality of life.
Yep.
So it's a really excellent audiobook. So I'm quote unquote reading that. I just finished it.
Audiobooks are reading books.
Yeah.
I definitely count if I listen to an audiobook as I read that book.
Right.
That's legit.
I consumed it.
Exactly.
I consumed that
book. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And I actually really enjoyed his book because he tells a great story because he is a newscaster and he is
That's
a storyteller.
What he does. Yep.
It's phenomenal. It's self-deprecating. It's funny and it's a really nice insight into the practice of meditation and what he got out of it and he explored it from a news perspective because that's part of what he was doing was doing reporting on religion.
Oh, okay.
For CBS, I think.
Okay.
And they had like a Sunday night thing where he would go and explore different religions from people who sell, you know, like do things with snakes and all, you know, like all these crazy religions. But then he did this piece on like yoga and yogis and meditative and Buddha and really kind of found his bliss and his way to meditate and went on a meditation retreat and talked about that. It was really interesting. Yeah. But he named his book 10% Happier because he feels like his quality of life has increased because he's taken this practice to heart and he does meditate and it really does calm his mind and make his life better. But it doesn't change your life. It just enhances the 10% Happier. I don't know. I loved it. I loved it.
You sold me on it.
Yeah, it's a really good book.
Need to take a look at it. I've been really putting a lot of energy into my own meditation every morning. I find the days I don't do it are just not as happy of days.
That's great.
As the days that I do.
Are you using an app or are you?
Yeah. I switch between Calm and Simple Habit.
Yeah. I started with Calm, but one of the things they want you to do is listen before bed. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that will disturb my buddy over here who's trying to get some sleep. So I'm like,
I do it first thing in the morning.
Yeah. I'm going to try to do that. Swimming for me is very meditative, and I have not been in the pool for ages. So this morning I was going to get up and swim, but I was like, sleep is kind of meditative as well. I'm going to stay in bed. And it's 3 degrees, and the idea of getting in the pool at 5 a.m. just I wasn't ready. Tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah. I find painting, I like doing that, because you're just doing something artsy, you know, where you're not... You're just focused on a color or a stroke as opposed to the 10,000 different challenges you're facing in the office. cool. We can talk more about that offline if you want. Well, this is kind of wrapping it up here. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think people network naturally. Like your natural proclivity is to ask for assistance with most things, whether it's a trusted friend who you just say, can I run this by you? The more of those trusted friends you bring closer to you by giving more than you get is going to strengthen your quality of life and your quality of business life. And so anytime you have the opportunity to support someone, when someone asks you, like, can we get a coffee and talk about my career? I sometimes think, like, yeah, I don't know if you can help me. And then I'm like, well, you know what? It can't be about that. Like, it's got to be about them so that when they are ready to give, they're already in debt.
Yep.
Like, again, this business karma piece, like, So I very rarely say no to anything. And that includes going to speak to WCTC and UWM and, you know, anytime I'm invited to speak to a class because, again, those are my future. Like, I need to invest in relationships that mm-hmm. That are probably 5 years out from fruition, right? Those students may not be ready to either be on my roster or to hire my people, but they will be. Yep. And if I have invested real time and advice into elevating their get a job game, mm-hmm. that will come back to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's what I've been banking on for 14 years in business.
It seems like it's worked pretty good.
It hasn't steered me wrong.
So, business karma, I like that word.
Yeah,
there.
So invest when you can, mm-hmm. and you will reap reward.
Really, really sound advice. Thank you so much. So, Erica, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Email is my nemesis these days.
Amen.
Like, the volume is just outrageous.
Uh-huh.
I would say... hit me up on the LinkedIn.
Yep.
And if we're a first degree connection, you have access to all my contact information.
Mm-hmm.
Just hound me till you get what you need. But please no email.
Yep. We will include a link to your LinkedIn profile Perfect. In our show notes. Well, Erica, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Lori.
Great having you. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Erica for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.